opinions on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Wellgate Wellness. My name is Rich Novelli, president of Wellgate Sports Club. And we're here again on a beautiful Saturday to talk about improving the quality of your life. You know, I often wonder why some of us, you know, honestly believe that living a long and healthy life is a given. Many live life without thinking about the consequences of poor eating habits, zero exercise, or even movement day in and day out. We sit all day long and just give up on the fact that illness, heart disease, clogged arteries, stroke, and death, you know, may be just around the corner. But if I told you that you have cancer and that you have a chance to live longer and a more enjoyable life if you watch what you put in your body and exercise daily, you know, would that change your daily focus? And I bet it would. So today we're going to talk about some of those issues. We're going to expand our horizons a bit. And we are very fortunate to have with us Dr. Rob Hamilton, who I'm going to introduce in a moment. But today is a very appropriate. February, as most of you probably know, is National Heart Month. Kind of coincides with Valentine's and Heart Healthy and all that kind of good stuff. And so, you know, we throw out some basic heart facts that the heart, on average person, beats 100,000 times a day, which I thought was interesting. It also beats more than 3 million times in the average lifetime. Something to think about. And most people don't know that the heart is actually a muscle that you can improve, make stronger, or neglect and let it atrophy. So we're going to go through a lot of cool stuff today. I'm very excited to introduce Dr. Rob Hamilton. He is American Board of Emergency Medicine certified. He is also certified on the American Board of Anti-Aging and Regenerative Medicine and is a fellow in anti-aging and regenerative medicine. He's been practicing for about 17 years in emergency medicine and is currently practicing in Reading. Good morning, Rob. How are you?
Doing great, Rich. How are you this morning?
Now, I understand that you're in Hawaii today, right?
I am in Hawaii, and I'm very grateful to be able to do this from Hawaii while staring out at the ocean with palm trees in the foreground.
Well, I can't tell you how thrilled we are to have you, and especially given all the distractions that you have in front of you out there. So we very much appreciate you taking the time today to come on and talk to us about some really cool and very interesting quality of life topics. You know, to start things off, I always ask our guests to tell our listeners a little bit more about themselves, and maybe I'll start that question off for you, Rob. You know, I've introduced you a little bit, but maybe you can expand a little bit more about yourself.
Very happy to. So I am board certified in emergency medicine, and I've been practicing in the North State since 2002, I believe, and a few years before that in the Bay Area. Interestingly, and perhaps apropos to Healthy Heart Month, I've taken care of hundreds, gosh, maybe even thousands of folks with heart attacks, congestive heart failure, and other myocardial problems, and, of course, every other part of the spectrum of human disease that we see at the emergency department, everything from trauma to cancer to end-of-life illness. That experience has convinced me that we need to do better as a system, and that I personally need to do better, not only personally for myself and my own health, that of my family, but I believe that the next place I need to take my career is to try to prevent people from having those heart attacks and those events, or at least delay the time of onset so people can live a longer, healthier, and more functional life. So with that in mind, I went off and I did some additional training. I did a fellowship in anti-aging and regenerative medicine, and I also went through certification in age management medicine from a company called Senogenics, and ready to open a new practice here in the North State to try to help people live a more functional and active life as they age.
And this anti-aging focus really kind of came out of your experiences with all these hundreds of, you know, heart patients and heart disease that you were seeing in your practice, right?
It did. And frankly, I actually don't like the term anti-aging very much because it's it's got a negative connotation, and I don't think there's anything we really can do to stop aging. But what we can do is we can manage the way we age. And so, although the fellowship I did is in anti-aging medicine, I prefer to think of myself as practicing age management medicine.
Age management, yeah,
age management medicine.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah, and you know, I think from my perspective, having seen so many people in their 50s and their 60s with very serious medical problems, everything from heart disease to lung disease, cancer, etc., I feel like we've got to be able to do better, and I'd really like to be able to help people improve the way they age and manage their aging process.
So, Rob, do you subscribe to the belief that, you know, 60 is the new 50, 50 is the new 40 in terms of how we can practice age management? I mean, do you believe we can turn back the clock a little bit if we're practicing good age management?
I certainly do. I think one of the things that it depends on where you start. You know, there are some 60-year-olds out there that have the health of an 80-year-old.
Right.
And with some significant changes in their lifestyle and some aggressive medical care, they can, in fact, become a 60-year-old again and maybe even almost a 50-year-old in terms of the way they aged. And it's interesting you bring that up because one of the latest advances in medicine is something called telomere biology. And I can talk more about that if you like.
Sure.
But we are actually able to change people's age, their biological age, and we can monitor that by watching something called telomeres, which is a component of your DNA. So it is pretty interesting. There are some amazing things going on in medicine and sort of the age management and regenerative medicine field now.
So I've seen these apps online where you can go and get your actual life age, you know, how your life and experiences have impacted your chronological age. And, you know, it inputs things like exercise, of course, and eating habits and drinking and, you know, alcohol and all that kind of stuff. And it pops out this number that your actual age is, you know, 24 or whatever, something like that. But if I understand you correctly, you're talking about actual medical science that's saying that if we track these points of interest in the body, that we can actually affect those and maybe turn back the biological clock a bit.
That is true. That's actually one of the fascinating things out there. There was a Nobel Prize awarded to a researcher down in San Francisco by the name of Elizabeth Blackburn for discovering and explaining what telomeres are. And telomeres are little, almost if you think of your DNA and your chromosomes as shoelaces, on the end of them we have those little caps that keep the lace from unraveling. And that's what a telomere is. It's a cap on the end of your DNA that essentially keeps it from unraveling. And what has been discovered is that as we get older, the telomeres, the little caps on the end of our strands of DNA, get shorter and shorter. And there have been studies where they can actually correlate your telomere length to your biological age. So it's very surprising to some people, for example, to have a biological age of 50 and do a telomere test and find out that they're, or actually I guess I should say a chronological age of 50,
right,
based on when they were born, and find out that their true biological age on the basis of their telomere length is, say, 65.
And Rob, do they know what impacts the length of these telomeres? Is it life, you know, life habits?
It is. It's a combination of everything that we expose ourselves to in our environment. It's our habits. It's our, likely our food intake, environmental toxins, chronic illness and disease, et cetera. So it's a myriad of everything that goes into making us who we are. The good thing, though, Rich, is that there are ways to actually turn that around. There are actually some very new science that shows that you can actually lengthen your telomeres. It takes a very concentrated and focused approach with a combination of multiple lifestyle modifications, aggressive hormone optimization, and even some very new cutting-edge drugs that actually help rebuild the telomeres and make them longer.
That is very
cool.
Hasn't
yet been shown that actually increases lifespan, but the people that do that sort of thing actually find that they have a much better quality of life.
Well, quality of life, right. So if I can lengthen my telomeres, does that mean I can get taller as well, or is it just for my DNA?
No, unfortunately, you're not going to get any taller than
darn,
that.
Gosh, you know, I'm but still looking it, for that magic bullet, you know. I'm just not
right.
there. Sorry.
Platform shoes probably at this point.
That's my option right there is I got to go back to the 70s and wear my platforms and angel flight
that's
pants.
Right.
Yeah, not going there.
Yeah.
Sorry, buddy, not going there at all.
And I will stress that the goal of this, you know, no, of course there are some people out there looking for immortality. I don't think anybody in medicine at this point is promising immortality. What we're hoping to do is extend people's health span, the time during which they are healthy and active and able to be functional and independent.
Well, I think you hit that. Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. I don't. You know, we all know that we are as Americans, we are living longer, even
yes.
with all the mistreatment that we're giving our bodies. But we are living longer as a country. But it's the quality of life that one wonders about. You know, the natural degeneration of the body, the mind, and what have you. That if that can be slowed or improved so that the quality of those remaining years, you know, are really good, I think that's what we're all hoping for. Not necessarily to live to be 100, but to live to be whatever with good health and functional and have our, you know, our senses about us, right? I think.
Absolutely. And that's the sad part of the work that I do in the emergency department on a daily basis is I do have the opportunity and the privilege of taking care of a lot of people who have degenerated so much because of whatever their medical problems are and whatever combination of lifestyle problems they have that they're living in nursing facilities or they're unable to take care of themselves or they have no mobility or they're breaking bones from minor injuries, what should seemingly be minor injuries because their bone density is so bad. And really, those people may live into their 70s and 80s, but if the last 10 years of their lives are spent unable to take care of themselves, unable to get around and move and just do the kind of things that you and I take for granted, then is that really a better life if it's longer? So, again, our goal is really going to be extend the health span of people.
So doctor, is there a point of no return, as it were, when it comes to, you know, the patients that you see, whether it be age-related or disease-related, that you say there's just, you know, we can't fix this, or is there really hope for everybody regardless of, you know, the status of their health that we can't, or age, that we can get them better?
Well, certainly the point of no return is death.
Yeah, that's a tough one to overcome, yeah.
up until that point, I think almost everybody, and almost everybody can make some significant improvements and manage their health in a way that will improve their outcome and their quality of life. I mean, there are certainly folks that are unfortunately have had multiple strokes and, you know, are on maybe a ventilator and already at a point where there's really very little quality of life from most people's perspective, it probably can't do much. But I believe anybody that can and is willing to make some substantial lifestyle changes and try to improve their health will be able to make some improvements. And actually, interestingly, the data on exercise, for example, shows that the biggest gain that people get in terms of morbidity and mortality benefit from adopting exercise is the folks that go from zero to doing something. In other words, if you're already a avid exerciser or, you know, running or working out frequently and you work out a little more or you double your workouts, you don't get nearly as big a gain as the person who's completely sedentary. So there really is a place for improving your health in nearly everybody out there as long as they're relatively functional.
Well, we've got about a minute before we've got to take our first break, but that's a good segue into what we really want to cover over the next few segments, and that is the, you know, what you call the four pillars of age management. And not coincidentally, you know, at Wellgate, we really preach, you know, a four pillars approach, a comprehensive approach to wellness as well. And so I'm excited to kind of dig into each one of these with you. And we're going to talk about nutrition, exercise, hormone optimization, which is very fascinating, and circadian biology. And believe me, it took me a while to get that down. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. Rob, I know, don't step outside onto the beach. We got a little bit more time with you right now. But we will be back after a few short messages. And so hang with us. And this is Rich Novelli with Wellgate Wellness.
While most of Shasta County still has hours before their day begins, the bakery staff at Orchard Nutrition Center is wide awake and beginning their day. Each morning, they arise well before the dawn to start about their task of creating fresh, wholesome, nutritious baked items. Why do we do what we do? Sabrina, the Orchard Nutrition Center bakery manager, has been the culinary heartbeat of the bakery department since 2003. Sabrina, along with bakery clerk Kathleen, used the freshest ingredients available to create a variety of freshly baked breads, muffins, cookies, scones, and an abundance of baked gluten-free and vegan items every day. Great detail is taken to ensure that every item meets the strict Orchard Nutrition Center guidelines for taste, nutrition, and freshness. At Orchard Nutrition Center, our staff is like family, and our customers are our friends who come back again and again because we truly believe we're all in this together. We love seeing the smiles on our customers' faces. So when people ask, why do we do what we do? That's why. Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly local Whole Foods store.
Get ready for Charlie Musselwhite and the North Mississippi All-Stars to burn up the stage at the Cascade Theater in February. Charlie Musselwhite is a legendary harmonica player and band leader, a Blues Music Hall of Famer, and he's teaming up with the North Mississippi All-Stars for a double bill Saturday, February 20th. Don't miss it. Charlie Musselwhite and the North Mississippi All-Stars. Get tickets today at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
All right, welcome back. This is Richard Novelli with Wellgate Wellness, and we are speaking to Dr. Rob Hamilton. And where we left off was beginning to explore a little bit Dr. Rob calls the four pillars of age management. And Rob, maybe we can start off by saying, you know, what is, you know, kind of what's your approach to age management in general? How do you look at this in terms of a comprehensive plan for people? And, you know, what's the stuff that we might recognize? What's the stuff that's new out there that you're introducing through this program?
Well, I think the first thing to emphasize is that attempting to improve our health and manage our age is not something we get out of a bottle. Americans and maybe citizens of the world have become accustomed to medicine being able to provide pharmaceutical solutions to most of our problems. And I think this era started back when antibiotics first came out. We could cure infections that previously were life-threatening. But the reality is that taking for your high blood pressure and taking a pill for your type 2 diabetes and taking a pill for your Parkinson's disease, et cetera, is not really a solution to those problems, and it doesn't really make you that much healthier. In fact, it doesn't make you healthier. It may change your outcome a little bit, but the real solution from an age management perspective is to make a commitment to changing your lifestyle and your habits into things that promote healthy aging. And so my approach will be very much one of working with people to educate them about the latest findings in terms of how we can better improve our health. And that's a very complicated subject. There are a myriad of environmental influences and habits and things that we do that impact our health, sometimes positively and sometimes negatively, and it's not always easy to know which is which.
Right. You know, and I think one of the most interesting things that you and I had talked about briefly is that, you know, if you could take, you know, one pill that would not just mask your symptoms, but actually start to improve the quality of your health, you really point that out as exercise, right?
Yes. In fact, I've got right in front of me here a list of 27 things that exercise is known to do that is beneficial to your health. And these include everything from, and I won't go through the whole list, but, you know, improving mood, improving cardiovascular fitness, decreasing blood pressure, decreasing atherosclerotic disease and arterial stiffness, improving neuromuscular function, et cetera. So the magic bullet, if it is, as it were, is getting out and doing some exercise and moving. And there is not a single pharmaceutical that I, as a physician, can prescribe you that has as many salutary effects on the human body as a regular exercise program.
Well, and there have been studies now, I know, that have linked exercise to improvements in early stage Alzheimer's and dementia, that
yep.
there's a positive impact on slowing the progress of those terrible degenerative diseases. You just open the internet or you read the paper, and there seems to be something new that continues to confirm the benefits of exercise. And I really liked what you said earlier, Rob, about that people that get the most benefit from exercise are those that have been predominantly sedentary for some time, and that they're going to see the most dramatic improvements. And little things like losing 10 pounds here, makes a dramatic difference in terms of your risk for heart disease, that you can actually come off some types of medication by improving your exercise habits. So, I mean, are those things that you, when you talk about educating the consumer, your patients, we believe very strongly in education. We have a whole series of workshops and seminars regularly for our members and non-members, quite frankly, that want to participate at Wellgate Sports Club, because as we talked about in our last show, we talked about behavioral change, and that the power of behavioral change needs to start with education. And who better than your doctor, than your physician, to tell you, hey, listen, I'm going to educate you a little bit more about, the benefits of exercise and nutrition and hormone optimization. You are the credible authority. You are the person with the background and the education. You've seen all that. Many times we get people that come in and said, my doctor recommended me to come to Wellgate Sports Club because you guys really take this comprehensive approach. And, that's very flattering for us, because it's not just about throwing people on machines. It's really about educating them. But the changes that have to occur start with education for people to make that first move. And I think a lot of what you're talking about here is just powerful information for people to utilize to say, hey, it's never too late. Exercise is an extremely powerful form of medication, if you will.
Oh yeah.
To get you in a better quality of life, and maybe, like you said, a better biological age. So, how do you approach that with some of your patients? I mean, you see folks that are in pretty bad shape when they come to see you.
Well, understand. Right now, I'm still primarily practicing emergency medicine, although my age management practice will be sort of opening up fully here in the next few weeks. But one of the challenges is that it's, almost every doctor you see will tell you, go out and exercise. Go exercise, lose some weight, eat less, exercise more, et cetera. But most people are very well-meaning and intend to do that, but the challenge is getting them to actually follow through with it. And I know, Rich, at Wellgate, you're well familiar with the January phenomenon, where everybody makes their New Year's resolution, comes in, signs up, works out hard for a month or two, and then they start tapering off as, quote, life gets in the way or whatever.
Right.
So my approach will be very much one of trying to use some objective numbers to show people the benefits of exercise. And, for example, you and I have discussed we're going to be doing some exercise testing. For example, VO2 max, where you can actually get people up on a machine. You can look at their exercise capacity. You can understand what their own personal metabolic rate and what their own personal oxygen consumption looks like. And then you prescribe a specific regimen of exercise, and I'll be looking forward to working with some of your exercise folks about that. And then maybe go back and redo that test in 3 months and see that there's a substantial improvement. And I think one of the things that holds people accountable and keeps us all accountable is some kind of objective data. So it's one thing for your doctor to say, go out and exercise. It's another thing for your doctor to say, here's your VO2 max number, and do this for 3 months, and then let's recheck it. And then, wow, it got better. And, oh, by the way, your risk quintile for heart disease has moved from, the 30% in 5 years to the 15% in 5 years just by improving your VO2 max by this much. That is very powerful when you can motivate people with actual data and objective findings. Well, otherwise, it's all very abstract.
It's very abstract, and people say, well, you'll feel better. Okay, well, yeah, sometimes I feel better, sometimes I don't feel better, you know, and that's not just about exercise, right? I mean, I could have had, you know, a dozen Krispy Kreme donuts that next morning and,
yeah,
and feel
I feel
like
really
crap.
Good after those, but.
Yeah, but the yeah, sugar high wears off.
Well,
right, exactly. So, you know, a lot of times when we can show people very quickly, as a matter of fact, improvements in some basic metrics-driven data, that's an awful powerful tool for our personal trainers, our coaches, to share with our members. And I got to tell you, you know, I think we've shared this before on the show that we have members that are in their 80s and 90s that, you know, come up and grab me by the hand with a handshake that's much stronger than when I first met them and said, you know, I just came back from my doctor. They took me off of my diabetes medication because, you know, I've been and those are the success stories, you know. Those are the things that it's not about the inches I've lost or, you know, how strong I am, but rather my quality of life is specifically better here, and my doctor has confirmed that because I'm off these meds. And what a nice story to tell, right? But I want to come back to the power of education and, you know, how you approach that with, you know, with some of the patients that you see in emergency medicine. I mean, do you get a chance to share with them or are they in and out? I mean, is it just one of those things that this is, you know, tough to do?
You know, it's a challenge. I do my best, and maybe some of my patients are listening and will think that maybe I didn't do enough at that time. And the challenge in the ED, the emergency department's it's a crucible. You know, most people that are there for an acute crisis of some type. There's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of tension. And so on the one hand, sometimes the time I spend with people, I believe can be very high impact. And, so I do try to educate people to the best of my ability during those particular encounters. But the reality of it is that the emergency department, as anybody who's gone there knows, is it's very busy. There's a lot of people waiting. I don't have 15 or 20 minutes for the most part to spend talking to people about things like lifestyle modification and other changes they can make. I try to throw in a few hints, and when I find somebody who seems particularly receptive or interested, I will take a few extra minutes to sit down and try to explain some things that may help them. A lot of the time, somebody, for example, who's in the middle of an acute crisis, if they're severely injured or they're having a heart attack or something, really, that's not the time to try to educate them. That's the time to get them the immediate medical care they need.
Right, right.
What I look forward to in my age management practice is spending the time with my patients to discuss the why of why I recommend what I recommend. And I go by a mentor of mine who says, the more you know, the better you'll do. It doesn't mean you have to change everything all at once all the time, but little changes add up to a big difference in someone's trajectory over a period of years, and that's really what we're looking to do.
Well, and there, and you come back to these New Year's resolution issues where we see a lot of people that come in and hit it so hard for a couple of weeks that they can't move, and it's not making these big changes. It's consistency. It's the little changes. And we take the extra step that if we don't see our members in the club, you know, for 30 days, we actually will call them and say, look, this is about consistency. Consistency trumps intensity hands down when you're talking about quality of life. And we want to reach out and make sure people are coming into the facility, which is contrary to a lot of the way gyms are set up in this business, is they don't want to see you. They just want you to pay your dues. We want to improve the quality of our members' lives and have them come into the facility because that's the only way that they're going to get better.
That's fantastic.
Rob, let's start off with the first pillar here. You've got listed as nutrition. And I know you have some very specific thoughts about nutrition as it comes to optimal nutrition for age management.
I do. You know, as we talked about, I sort of see four pillars of age management medicine. Nutrition is big, and it's something that most of us don't recognize as being as important as it is. I mean, everybody knows that eating a bunch of Krispy Kreme donuts or Doritos is probably not that good for you. But people don't realize that every time we put something in our body, that's essentially like taking a pill. It's food is basically a drug. It determines what happens in our body in a myriad of biochemical processes. It creates and triggers hormonal reactions, etc. And one of the things we do know is that a lot of the wonderful advances in food science and packaging and preparation over the last 50 to 100 years are not necessarily congruent with our biology. And so I tend to recommend a fairly anti-inflammatory diet for people. And what does that mean? That means getting rid of foods that are known to cause inflammation. A lot of functional medicine and age management physicians do what's called an elimination diet, where we'll tell you, you know, don't eat certain foods for a month. And a big example is a lot of people have trouble with grains, and they may not even realize it. And I could go into a lot more detail about that. We probably don't have time. An alternative is to do some testing. For example, we'll be offering a food sensitivity test that will allow people to understand that they may well be allergic to certain foods, even though they don't have any symptoms. And what that does is that causes silent and low-level inflammation in their body that essentially adds up to rapidly aging them over time. Another tenet of good age management, of good diet as we age, is to try to stick to a fairly low glycemic index diet. And part of that is because as we age, our proteins in our body get glycosylated. It means we attach sugar molecules to them, and it's almost like they get rusty.
Oh, interesting.
If you want to think of that as an analogy. And yeah. So if you eat a lot of things that have a high sugar load, in other words, they raise your blood sugar very quickly or have what's called a high glycemic index, you tend to glycosylate
right.
more of your proteins, and that basically just accelerates aging.
Well, let's stop on that what you said. We will come back after a few short messages. This is Wellgate Wellness, and I'm Rich Novelli speaking with Dr. Rob Hamilton. We'll be right back.
The goodies, the gadgets, the gizmos. Every week, Boomer Tech Radio talks about the innovations and the developments in technology that are impacting your life. Hi, it's Bob Belongi, and for the past 6 years, Brenda and I have brought you the tech news you can really use. Sponsored by Advanced Automotive of Reading, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. It's analog living in a digital world on Boomer Tech Radio, heard noon to two Saturdays or streaming anytime on KCNR 1460.
Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our local community for making 2015 our best year yet. Your continued patronage supports 20 local jobs, and when you shop at Mighty Fine, your money stays in your community the way it should be. Daily deli specials under $5, a different hot soup served daily, groceries, meat, produce, and over 1,000 cold drinks. Mighty Fine Foods is your locally owned and operated neighborhood grocer. Mighty Fine, $2.99 in Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
And we're back. We are speaking with Dr. Rob Hamilton and talking about the four pillars of age management medicine. We've covered a little bit, Rob, about nutrition and exercise. You know me, I could never talk enough about those two topics. But something that I'm really fascinated to learn about from you, and hopefully we will be spending a lot more time together on this in the coming months, is hormone optimization and circadian biology. So, let's start with hormone optimization. That is a fairly new science, is it not? And you know, kind of how has that been derived, and where's it going?
Well, it is pretty new. I.e., the idea of optimizing someone's hormones, it's not entirely new. I mean, people have been doing this since the 40s, ever since hormones were essentially discovered. And so maybe if I could just start with describing what a hormone is. Hormones are chemical messengers that your body uses to activate certain processes, to tell it to transcribe certain genes, to tell it how to metabolize energy. And there are literally dozens of hormones or more, but the big ones we focus on in the kind of age management business are insulin, which most people know has something to do with blood sugar and diabetes. Cortisol, which is a hormone that your body secretes when it's under stress. Thyroid hormone, which is a hormone that affects your metabolism. And then the so-called sex steroid hormones. So in men and women, interestingly, testosterone. And also in men and women, also estradiol, progesterone, and then there's a whole bunch of derivatives of estrogens, et cetera. So one thing that has been discovered and looked at is over the years is that the scientific data is showing that people are having different hormone levels now than they did 50 years ago. In other words, there were some studies back in the 50s that showed that, for example, men's testosterone remained at a higher level than it does now. And a lot of women go through their first onset of menses earlier now, and they go through menopause earlier now than they did, say, 30, 40, 50 years ago.
And what causes that?
Well, we wish we knew.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. So, I mean.
I think we have a lot of clues. Some of it has to do with something we'll talk about is circadian biology. Some of it probably has to do with environmental toxins.
Mm-hmm.
For example, everybody sees BPA-free bottles and wonders, okay, that must mean BPA is bad for me. Why is BPA bad for me? Turns out it's a type of a plasticizer, bisphenol A, that has some endocrine disruption and can certainly change your hormonal your hormones and probably lower them. Some people think it's some of the hormones in the food we eat. For example, if you are not eating organic or naturally produced products, oftentimes hormones are used to stimulate the cows to, say, produce more milk or make more bigger muscles so they can produce more beef. So there's a myriad of effects that have caused people's hormones to be in relative disorder from what they were, say, 50 to 100 years ago, or maybe even 20 to 30 years ago. So what we see in the age management medicine world is you can get the diet and the exercise right, but it only gets you so far. If your hormones are really out of whack, then it's like trying to start a fire without a match. You know, if you imagine sort of that you've got diet as the wood and exercise as the lighter fluid, and hormones are the match. You really need all those three components to get someone running on all cylinders optimally.
Mm-hmm.
So we will be looking pretty hard at what people's current hormone levels are, strategies to change and improve them. You know, some of those hormones we want to decrease, for example, cortisol and insulin, we'd like to see go down. Testosterone and thyroid hormone we'd like to see go up, and some of that is diet and lifestyle, and some of that requires actual hormone replacement or supplementation. But if folks are doing the diet and doing the exercise and making their best faith efforts and still things aren't working, there's a good chance that something in their metabolic picture is out of whack, and that's likely some sort of a hormonal problem.
But
and
likewise,
those are things that so is the medicine can now do something about.
I'm sorry. Is the converse true then, Rob, that if you're just getting hormone optimization but you're not watching your diet and you're not exercising, that you're not going to get necessarily the benefits of those as well, or is it a one-way street?
No, the converse is true. These things all work synergistically together. And, you know, we can certainly fix someone's hormones and get their levels into the normal lab values, you know, into the box that we call a normal or an optimal value, but if they're not doing some of the other things, they're not going to get the best result.
Gotcha.
They'll probably feel better than if their hormones were out of whack and disordered. They'll probably have a little bit better result, but the magic really happens when you get all three of those things right.
Gotcha. Interesting. So is this how do you test for these? Is this something that is a blood test? How does it work?
So there's a bunch of different ways to look at hormone levels, and I'm evaluating a few of those right now. Blood tests are one, and that's what we commonly use. We can also test for the hormones that we're looking at specifically in either dried urine or saliva. And there are some advantages and disadvantages to each method of testing. And so the challenge as a physician doing this is to weigh the benefits of each method and actually somewhat personalize it to the patient depending on what their issues are. For example, someone with a history of cancer might benefit from one type of testing over the other because that particular testing gives us some of the hormone metabolites that we might not get, but that type of testing might cost a little more, for example. So really the goal of a physician is to try to figure out the best thing that works for each individual patient, not to try to apply a one-size-fits-all approach.
Interesting. Very interesting. So this last area of age management you listed as circadian biology. Now, we're not talking about bugs, right? We're talking about biological rhythms, right? So tell us what that is. Yes.
So this is an area that is really pretty new. It's cutting edge. It's been known for a long time, but it's starting to slowly make its way out into the mainstream, and modern medicine hasn't really embraced this yet. But keep in mind that as biological organisms, which we are, a lot of the cues for what our body should be doing at any given time come from the sun and come from a day and night signal that we get from our environment. And this includes cues for not only producing hormones and causing some hormones to go up and other hormones to go down, but this is what makes a healthy body. And in our modern era, we have become so adept at creating artificial environments, be they artificial light at night, be they using iPads and iPhones at 3 a.m. to text people, that actually causes some significant disruption to our biology. And what that means is that causes some level of low-level inflammation in your body, and over time that all adds up to aging more quickly and having a worse outcome. And for example, I'll just give you an example, and anybody can go out there and get on Google and look this up. If you go to Google and you Google blue light and sleep, you will see that there are dozens of scientific studies, but more importantly, at this point, from a consumer standpoint, there are dozens of articles in newspapers talking about how people are having difficulty sleeping due to the blue component of light from either the fluorescent or the LED lights they're using, or what seems to be afflicting us all now is the use of our technological devices.
Wow.
And specifically, those frequencies of light in the blue range actually suppress the secretion of a critical hormone called melatonin, which is what helps put you to sleep. And that actually has a variety of downstream effects, including decreasing production of human growth hormone, which is what repairs all the damage done during the day. And so over a period of years, if you have inadequate or low melatonin secretion and inadequate human growth hormone secretion, you're not repairing all the damage done during the day. And what does that add up to? That adds up to aging more quickly than you would otherwise like to.
Well, that's fascinating, because I know that most, certainly muscle repair, any kind of damage is done during sleep, during the evening, right?
Right, by human growth hormone.
Right. And that if that is disrupted, then clearly we are disrupting our body's ability to repair itself. And so it's a downward cycle that most people don't realize. And I know there have been a lot of studies on sleep and the optimal number of hours of sleep. Some say 7, some say 8. But, you know,
right.
Clearly if you're not getting a quality of sleep that's disrupted by this blue light and lack of the proper hormones, you're not doing yourself any favors whether you're in bed for, you know, 6 hours or 10 hours, right?
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. And the good thing is this is starting to become a little bit more mainstream and recognized. I mean, I think 5 years ago, first of all, 5 years ago, I didn't know this. And 5 years ago, if I would have said this, people would look at me like I've got two heads. But, you know, now, in fact, for example, Apple is about to introduce a change in their iPhone operating system that will decrease the amount of blue light coming off the phone at night.
Interesting.
Not saying that makes it completely safe, but at least people are starting to recognize that this is important, that doing something at 2 a.m. that you think may be good for you may not actually be good for you because it's being done at 2 a.m. So sleep is critical. Sleep is really the thing that heals all of us, and I think that's something that everybody needs to pay a lot of attention to.
We talk a lot to athletes, you know, in my previous lives about rest and recovery. And,
yep.
You know, the old adage used to be that more is better, and, you know, the harder you work, the more you push, the stronger you're going to get. But the reality is that you have to give your body some time to repair and regenerate, and that comes from rest. There's a lot of programs now And we even teach it to members of ours that are going through our personal training programs, that the older you get, the more time you have to at least be consciously aware of resting and recovering those muscles so that you can, you know, improve over time. And that seems to be playing a much more prominent role. I don't see athletes, you know, pushing themselves quite as hard, or at least, you know, consistently as hard. And they're doing now what's called more active recovery exercises, where it's more stretching, more things that are going to aid in the removal of lactic acid and other things that build up that make you sore after you work out, rather than continuing to push, you know, in a highly intensive fashion. And I would imagine that's particularly true for older people as well, that the body just needs more time to regenerate and repair. But it is critical that they do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Regeneration and repair is really foundational. And, you know, the body has a tremendous, tremendous capacity to heal itself if given the opportunity. And actually that'll lead to something else I'll be working on, which is regenerative medicine and stem cell therapy. And that's something we can talk about down the line. But the body really knows what to do to fix itself. It is its own best doctor. But to enable that, we have to give it the tools, whether it's the right nutrients, whether it's the right amount of rest, whether it's the right circadian rhythms, and the right exercise. And just as an aside, I know there's a lot of data now on mindfulness practices and meditation, for example, and being tremendously helpful for people. So, you know, things like yoga and things like meditation have actually some very well-proven scientific benefits for improving people's health.
Right. That's interesting. Rob, we've got just a few more minutes left. I would be remiss if I didn't talk about your new program, this age management program, and you're partnering up with Prestige Urgent Care. Is that correct?
That's correct.
How's that going to work?
I'm sorry. I missed you there, Rich.
I'm sorry. How is that going to work?
Okay. Well, there's a number of ways that it will work, but I'll be starting a practice called Prestige Age Management based out of Prestige Urgent Care in Reading. For those of you who aren't familiar with Prestige, it's a tremendous value in healthcare. It's a membership model, urgent care and primary care. And then my section of it, if you will, or my practice line is called Prestige Age Management. And I'll work closely with the doctors at Prestige Urgent Care and, we will attempt to provide this type of service to folks in the North State. I've got prior experience working with a large age management medicine practice out of San Francisco, which I don't want to name here, but we're going to try to provide a similar service for a fraction of the cost. And it will be open to any member of the general public, not just to Prestige members. I also look forward to working with you and your staff at Wellgate to add in the exercise and nutrition and the fitness testing components, which I think are really critical to giving people the accountability and the objective feedback so they know that they're making progress, because that's really what it's all about.
Well, I can tell you that we are tremendously excited to be partnering with Prestige and working with you specifically, Rob, because this, again, kind of comes full circle back to our four pillars and really building a comprehensive program. I mean, you have some new diagnostic tools that you've talked about here today that we're going to be able to partner up with you on and provide a lot of metrics that can help. We talked about functional movement screen. We talked about the VO2 max, body composition, even just standard weights, and be able to work directly with Prestige in helping kind of craft the optimal kind of workout program for people that can improve their functionality and quality of life. So, We couldn't be more excited to be partnering up with this incredible group, not only for that program, the age management program that you're setting up, Rob, but really also because of the way that they have set up their model to benefit the residents of Reading. It's truly revolutionary, and it's something that I think our listeners owe it to themselves to check out. I don't know, Rob, do you have a number for them, or is that something they can just go online and get?
They can go online to prestigeuc.com, or the phone number is 244-4577.
That's outstanding. So with just a couple of minutes left, I do want to mention to our listeners that it's always a privilege to be on the air and share this this education. We have had some wonderful guests in the early goings of this show. February is Heart Month, and at Wellgate Sports Club we are offering a Share the Love promotion. If you have been spurred to action by Rob's dissertation here and all the wonderful things that exercise and nutrition and hormone therapy and even circadian biology can provide, we'd love to talk to you. We are offering a zero enrollment for the month. We are also offering two free personal training sessions. And hopefully this would come at a time when we will be beginning to work with Prestige on the age management program, and there's some ways that we can all work together on that. So we really encourage you to take advantage of that. Rob, anything else that you want to mention before we have to sign off today?
No, I just want to encourage all your listeners to get out there and start moving. If you're not moving, the best benefits are from starting and then continue. And don't go out and run 5 miles the first day, get sore, and say you're never going to do it again. Go out and walk. Go out and lift a few things. And it doesn't have to be that heavy. Just make sure you're moving, and then maybe we can get together and start working on improving your health. So we don't have to take care of you in the ER anytime soon. Always happy to do so, but I'd rather see you in another setting. And well, I want to thank you, Rich, for letting me be on your show.
Well, it's always a privilege. I learned a tremendous amount today, and I want to thank you, Rob. And I know that you're about to go out in the sunshine there and hopefully dive into the surf and enjoy. So have a wonderful time with you and your family, and we'll see you when you get back. Folks, this is Rich Novelli, Wellgate Wellness, and again, it's our privilege to be on the air here at KCNR and service you. So have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon.
In the 40s, Redding Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Redding Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Redding with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Redding Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Redding Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
How about some traditional Mexican food for Second Tuesday dinner in March, Abby?
I love authentic Mexican food. We must be going to Mazatlan Grill.
That's right. With their welcoming, friendly staff and fiesta-like atmosphere, you can start with tableside guacamole made to your liking and sizzling fajitas and so much more to choose from.
Please join us on Tuesday, March 8th at Mazatlan Grill as they graciously donate a portion of the proceeds to Haven Humane Society to help them care for the stray, abused, and unwanted animals as they look to place them in loving homes.
It's all about good food, good friends, and helping the animals.
Hi, I'm Rick Hughes, host of the newest talk radio show heard here on KCNR, 1460 AM on the dial. It's called The Flotline, F-L-O-T, Flotline. It'll be heard every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 AM. Come join me and learn how God has tremendous problem-solving devices that you can use to stop the outside sources of adversity before they become the inside sources of stress. That's The Flotline with Rick Hughes every Sunday morning here on KCNR at 7 a.m.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. On Monday, we welcome Rick Bassetti, general manager of the Colt 45s, that college baseball team that plays 42 games during the summer, raising money for so many different charities. Find out about the golf tournament with the retired baseball stars. This and what happened in the South Carolina primaries. All of this Monday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
How about some traditional Mexican food for Second Tuesday dinner in March, Abby?
I love authentic Mexican food. We must be going to Mazatlan Grill.
That's right. With their welcoming, friendly staff and fiesta-like atmosphere, you can start with tableside guacamole made to your liking and sizzling fajitas and so much more to choose from.
Please join us on Tuesday, March 8th at Mazatlan Grill as they graciously donate a portion of the proceeds to Haven Humane Society to help them care for the stray, abused, and unwanted animals as they look to place them in loving homes.
It's all about good food, good friends, and helping the animals.
Uncle Bob, where did Mount Shasta spring water come from? Well, you see, we get wrung out of the clouds as we pass over the top of Mount Shasta. Then we become part of huge glaciers. Then we flow through miles of volcanic rocks. Then we pop out of a spring at the base of Mount Shasta. Uncle Bob, where did I come from? You'll have to ask your parents about that one.
Pure and simple, naturally the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
For free delivery and setup, call 1-800-922-6227. Or go to MountShastaSpringWater.com.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, community radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew. Here in the nation's capital, the funeral for Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia has come to an end. Scalia's son, the Reverend Paul Scalia, was a chief celebrant today. In highly personal remarks, the younger Scalia spoke about his father's devotion to God, his country, and his family. Among the many dignitaries on hand, all of the other Supreme Court justices, including Clarence Thomas, who read from the Book of Romans.
Hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us.
Other dignitaries on hand, Vice President Joe Biden, former Vice President Dick Cheney, members of Congress, and yes, all eight remaining justices of the Supreme Court. It's a day of presidential contests in South Carolina and Nevada. Democrats Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders testing their strength.